Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. As he once said in Coming to America, when you think of garbage, think of Akeem. When you think of stupid, think of me. I don't know that that makes as much sense as I want it to. All right, let's start about this. We talked about the Celtics coaching staff. So the Celtics told the media they were going to have a media game. What they didn't realize is they weren't playing each other. They were playing the Celtics coaches, which some of those guys, former NBA players, a lot of D1 players, guys that could play. And then they got smoked. I forget what the score was. They got smoked.
I think it was like 57-1, maybe?
Four or something. I mean, I think it was, it may have been a little bit better than that. Well, this game started off 26-0 and 57-4. That was the score at the end of the first period with the Celtics. Jesus. This is something that is interesting because they've been asking other teams about this, and they talked to the Pelicans, and Willie Green said that the New Orleans media would 100% be in trouble trying to guard some of their coaches, and he stands by his guarantee that New Orleans media would score more than 4 points in a game. Yep.
The game was only scheduled to go 12 minutes. It did, and the final score was 57-4.
Okay, well, tell me if you think this one is worse, because the Nuggets team has, I think, four former NBA players and a couple that just retired over the past 4 or 5 years. They won 114-16.
Wow.
And hats off to member of the Denver media.
He held up 16 points.
this is the best part of it. This is my favorite thing of this, is that they gave Zach Bai, who's the host of one of the radio shows there in Denver for 104.3 The Fan, one of our sister stations, they gave him the MVP because he scored a couple of buckets. You guys scored 16 points, and then it's like, here's your MVP on the losing side. But yeah, the Denver Nuggets media, the Denver Nuggets coaching staff, they held no prisoners.
What do you think they do this for? Just to,
I think it builds the camaraderie, but it also lets the coaches let them know, like, hey, we're the basketball experts here. We're the ones that understand this game.
You just
we
ask
play.
The questions.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that's necessarily a fair way to look at things, because I clearly think people know about basketball that didn't play it. I mean, some of the greatest coaches we've had in sports weren't players. You know, like we talked about Red Auerbach the other day. You know, Marv Levy. Like, think about that. Like, Marv Levy gets in the four straight suit, never played.
Look at your phone.
Oh, did I get a text from someone?
We both did. Son of a gun. Gonzalez.
Oh, I didn't. Did I get another one?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I responded to that. That was great. Yeah.
He said Rob must have been coaching the coaches.
Oh, no, I didn't get that one yet. Now I did. but yeah, I mean, like, again, I always thought this was fun. I always wanted to play in like a media. I got to play in the media soccer game, but we were playing other media members. But I would have loved to have played against
the Blast.
Yeah. I would have loved to have played basketball against the Ravens. Oh, what's that? They took the basketball court out too? Oh, these guys are having too much fun on a 1-5 team. But yeah, so you look at those things, but Zach Bai getting the MVP, at least he's got bragging rights in the game where they scored 16 points.
We may suck, but I'm the best of the ones to suck.
All right, let's do this story real quick. And how unlucky do you have to be? We had a small plane that crashed into an open field. It was a park. A woman was hit by said plane. Like, does nobody hear the sounds around them, or is nobody screaming? It's a small plane and you couldn't get out of the way? Or did you have headsets on? Were you listening to something else?
Yeah, it, man, is. Hey, those beats.
Noise canceling.
I can't hear the plane when I'm on the plane.
I read the headline and I'm like, how, Sway? A woman was struck by a small plane that plummeted into, it says, a busy California park. I'm looking at the field as a soccer field. It looks kind of empty, but again, to be fair, the picture's taken after the crash. When units arrived, they found one small aircraft on its belly with a broken landing gear.
Generally, they're playing soccer around the plane?
No, I'm just saying. That's very fair. Dummy. The aircraft collided with a woman in her 40s who was on the field during the freak landing. She was rushed to the hospital alongside the elderly male pilot who had to be retrieved from inside the plane by firefighters. Both are miraculously, they've recovered. They're in stable condition with some bumps and bruises. Yes.
How small was this plane that you can get hit by one and still live?
It looks like the plane in, like, what is that, Space Invaders? A little tiny... Here, let me turn this around.
How small is this?
It's small. That's a soccer field. And look at...
It's not even covering the logo in the middle of the field.
Yeah. So it's...
It's a...
Like a... What do they call those? Like a... I don't know. I'm not even going to try to... I'm going to make myself sound stupid doing it. All right. We got a little bit of time here. I want to play this for you. And I got to credit Be More Big Boy who sent this. He tagged both of us in it, Rob. We tag both of us in this sound. It's a man that gets pulled over, and you can tell it's for a DUI, DWI. The guy's drunk. But he's afraid that the cops are going to do something, and he doesn't want them to do, and he keeps telling them that. Listen to this.
Keep your hands on the vehicle.
No, what are you going to do?
I'm searching you, actually. Make sure you don't have anything that'll hurt me on.
What are you searching at?
Huh? Right here in your pants. Your pants pocket. Stand up for me.
Over here. Let's go over here.
Come on.
No, hold on.
Sir.
Okay. Yeah, sir, over here. Come on.
You putting your finger up my...
No,
we're not.
Come on.
Hold on.
Sir. No, you ain't putting your finger up my...
No one's doing that. Calm down.
No, you got gloves on.
Yeah, we're going over here. Right here.
Yeah, turn the camera on.
Yeah, it is on. Our cameras are on. Stop it.
You're fine. Listen. Stop.
All right.
You ain't putting your finger up my...
Nobody's doing that. Listen. We believe, which you've already admitted to you being intoxicated.
Yes.
So we believe you're under influence.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you to perform some field sobriety exercises. You understand what that is?
No.
No?
If you don't mind.
So listen.
You don't.
We're going to start this off. I'm going to check your eyes to see if you are, in fact, intoxicated.
Yes. Sir. Well, hold on. Let me apologize to him. Are you going to put your finger up my...
No, sir. Not at all.
The best of this would have been at the end if he's like... I mean, if y'all want to, I guess I'm all right with it after saying no all those times. But why was he stuck on that? Why did
I'm glad you asked that because he could be stuck on that because he's paranoid for no reason, or he could be stuck on that because maybe that has happened. Maybe there was a story in that town where an officer was accused of doing that.
What, am I not cute enough when I get pulled
over? I'm just saying, why are people afraid of police brutality?
Because they've seen it on video.
It's happened before. Yeah. It doesn't always happen, but it's happened.
Yeah, but I ain't never heard of a cop checking a dude's oil on the side of the street.
You don't live in that town, man.
Yeah,
you
about a court low. Hey, sir, we're going to do a field sobriety test. Yeah, it requires me to put a finger in your rear. What kind of test is this?
Or maybe he wanted him to.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised at the end he didn't go... I mean, if y'all want to, go ahead. I ain't going to tell anyone if you don't.
You want me to pull my socks up or pull them down? You do want me to grab my ankles, right?
He was clearly intoxicated.
Oh, my God.
If you guys aren't going to put a finger in there, do you mind if I do?
He sound like Larry the Cable Guy. Seriously.
Yonk to. Hey, y'all got
I've
fingers?
I've not heard that since I left South Carolina.
Yonk to.
Anyway, that's your world of stupid. Oh, Mike Boarding joins us at 8:45, but on the other side, Maryland fans will reportedly attend the Nova Georgetown game later this year to heckle Kevin Willard. I don't know if I love that pettiness or I'm ashamed of it. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year, Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
18 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Former Maryland head basketball coach Kevin Willard is now at Villanova. I think, to be honest with you, I'm sorry to say this, Maryland fans, it's a better basketball coaching job. It is. It's a better situation.
Look, I don't think any of us had a problem, or at least a lot of us didn't have a problem with him taking the job. It's how it all went down.
That's why Maryland fans are upset. Now, reports are they're going to show up to the Nova Georgetown game down in D.C. just to heckle him. How you feel about that?
I'm fine with that. And then from his comments, he's fine with it, too. He's like, come put money in their pocket and help them out. Yeah, if you guys want to come pay your money, do whatever you want. He's playing it up like he doesn't give a rat's ass. But I think if you guys keep doing something like this to him, it gets to him.
It's going to.
We're all human beings.
It's going to. I love the pettiness. See, this to me is proper pettiness by fans.
Definitely. Make him feel like every game you go to is a road game.
Yeah, this. I love this. I thought they were going to the Georgetown game.
Well, what I'm saying. Like, it is a road game, right. But make it even feel... Because now when you have some guys that really hate that guy coming in and don't even care about your team, they care about them losing and not you winning.
Yeah. When you start sending threatening emails or threatening him on social media, to me, you're crossing the line. But going to the game to boo him is not crossing the line to me. That's what fans do. I love it. I love the passion the Maryland fans are showing, the commitment to their program, the dedication, the loyalty. It shows loyalty to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't completely destroy it because, I'm King Petty anyway.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I think some of this is deserved, too, from a fan base that feels like he left them high and dry and at the worst time. Like, he didn't want to answer any questions, and I get that. But sitting here saying that this isn't happening the entire time, and then, of course, when it comes down to it, we were all saying Villanova is a better job.
It is.
They've won national championships in
recently.
The past. Yeah, so they've got more money to spend in NIL.
Because they don't have a football team.
Yes. I mean, they do, right? They still have their...
No, it's not football bowl subdivisions.
Yeah, it's lower level, but they... Yeah. Okay.
So a football bowl subdivision has to spend more money.
Were they FBS? Is that what it is?
FCS.
FCS. Yeah. But anyway, just getting back to Willard, like, I don't know how you feel, but I've become one of those guys. I really turned on Mark Turgeon and didn't like him. I really liked Willard, and now I really don't like him.
You don't like him?
No. I would love to see him fail at Villanova. And maybe I made it too personal with how it went on, but I also know all the stuff that went on here when we were trying to get him on the show.
I think that's what it is.
We had a deal with him. He would bail on us at the last second, and it's like he doesn't want to come on after tough losses. Some of the stuff we heard about how he talked to Johnny Holiday and other guys and how he treated people around him. People aren't privy to this, but all of this stuff went on.
Yeah.
And we were hearing about it behind the scenes going... Seems like he's kind of a jerk, but he's winning games. So and then you bring in a recruit and they have a season like last year where you feel like they can make a run. And you can't tell me that the players weren't looking at his coach leaving or not during their postseason run.
How many players on the Maryland Terps team last year started at Maryland?
Ooh.
The two Baltimore kids.
Yeah.
That was it.
Is that it?
Sure that was it.
What about some of the bench guys that just didn't get in?
Maybe.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I don't think it was as much of a distraction to the players as people think. Because those guys understood. You had one of the Baltimore kids wasn't staying anyway. He was leaving anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think this generation of athletes take that as personal, especially basketball. Football, you got to stay 3 years before you go pro. We had to be 3 years removed from high school. So I can't be one and done here unless I transfer.
So do you put this on the media then? Because they have to ask these questions. And he didn't want to answer any of it. And he sidestepped as much as he could. But I do think it has an effect.
I'm not putting it on the media. I just don't think it had as much of an effect on. They lost to a better team. And they played a pretty good game.
Okay.
They lost. Who did they lose to? Florida?
Was it Florida or?
was Florida.
Yeah, Florida.
What Florida end up doing?
Pretty good.
Exactly. You know, it's not like they lost to Florida International.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't lose to, you know, Bethune-Cookman. You know, they lost to Florida, the team that eventually won a national championship. And they played a hell of a game in that game.
You know what?
They had a chance.
I think you actually got a better coach. I think you got a guy that everybody's going to
love. We don't want a better coach.
We want
Kevin Willard. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They used to call him Crazy Kevin. Now they call him Batman.
I just don't think it was as much a distraction to the players in this era as we like to say. We use that as an excuse for losing to freaking Florida.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the gambling part of me and knowing how it's affected. Like, I've seen this over the years. I feel like coaches leaving, or if you know you have a coach who's basically dead in the water, either getting fired or going to another program, if he doesn't come out and speak about it and say, hey, this is what I'm doing, I'm here with you guys, I want to make this run, I feel like that stuff falls apart all the time, especially, you might be right, in basketball, especially in college football.
Let me ask you this. And we said this to listeners. Just because he didn't tell you, how do you know he didn't tell them?
That's fair.
We're not privileged. Just listen, folks, it ain't your job to know everything that they know. It's not your right to know everything. It's not your privilege to know everything.
I like that Rob's saying all this, and he still likes the fans going over there to boo him.
But go over there and boo his ass. Make him uncomfortable. Just don't throw anything at him.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. But I don't think it was as much of a distraction. If I left my high school basketball team, if I did this in high school basketball, it's more of a distraction than it is in college. But if I did this in high school basketball, it's not as much of a distraction as it would have been 10 years ago. Because even there, people transfer. I got 3 kids that transferred into me this year. The kids transfer much more now than they did back in the day. I just think people understand the culture a lot more now than they did when you and I played. And you played some 8 years after me.
Yeah, and again, like, you're going back to that, everything's different. Like, coaches putting their hands on you, grabbing you by the face mask and dragging you. I had a coach kick a ball into the rafters and had us doing suicides until everyone was ready to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an animal. I love that stuff. Yeah, go ahead. Let's see who's last one running. Let's see who throws up.
I'm not saying it was right. I just don't think it was as much of a distraction as people think. They lost to Florida. That's not a distraction. And if you look back at that game, they were in it. They played well.
Yeah.
They just lost to a much better basketball team.
That's fair. That's if you honestly look at it like that, they did win 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
They end up losing to a team that factually, I think, was better than them. Maryland was a top 25 team where Florida was a top 10 team.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Maryland basketball coaches, Brenda Freeze will join us at 9:30.
That's a coach we love.
But the coach ain't going away either. But on the other side, Kirk Suzuki, I did not have him on the bingo card. He gets a managerial job. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So Kurt Suzuki is now the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. He had a special assistant job last year with the Angels. Do you think maybe he used his relationships to get this job?
Maybe, but I'll never argue anytime somebody signs a former catcher to be their manager. I don't know why that position works so well as a manager, but when you look at some of the best in the game, and you know you love some of them, Joe Girardi.
I do.
Joe Torre. I mean, you can start looking at all, like, there's been so many guys that have had success, like even David Ross with the Cubs, like as a backup catcher. You're like, really? That's who you wanted? And then you watch some of these guys as managers, you're going, he gets it. And maybe it is watching the whole game from the view he has, seeing everything, being involved in every single play of the game. But yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I was a little surprised ultimately, I thought if they were going to hire somebody, if somebody was going to hire Pujols, it would be them. And when they backed out, it's like, then it gives me a little bit of pause.
The fact that they didn't hire Pujols, you just said it.
Maybe they just like Suzuki way more.
Scott Servais, his name's being tossed around for the Orioles. How you feel about that?
Yeah, that's not what I want, man. There's nothing about him when I watched him managing going, yeah, I wish that guy was my manager. Now, again, if they see something, sometimes it's new strokes or different strokes for different folks. You get to a new team, things work out. I'm not going to argue with whoever they hire because I know they're going through it and interviewing everybody. But, I don't know that there's much difference between Scott Servais and Tony Mancino, in my opinion. One just got the coach.
I'd rather have Tony Mancino. If you're hiring somebody new, I'd rather have Tony Mancino. If you're hiring somebody with some experience, okay, go with them. good experience, not bad experience.
I just don't think he has a shot, man. Do you?
Well, Mancelito?
Yeah, I just
think. More and more that we keep going on with this thing, no, I don't. Because I think if he had a shot, the plug would have been pulled on him. If you're really pulling it, because I believe, we haven't heard reports, but I believe the Orioles have probably talked to some people.
Yeah, I don't think Scott Servais was a great baseball player, but he did way more as a baseball player than he did as a manager.
He was a catcher too, right?
Was he? Yeah, he was. And maybe I shouldn't argue with this.
For the Mariners.
Yeah. He caught for the Astros, the Cubs, the Giants, the Rockies, the Giants, the Astros.
And, never the Mariners.
And then he managed the Mariners from 2016 to 2024. But again, as we've talked about, I feel like they had a lot of disappointing seasons there. I feel like they were one of those middling teams. He has a winning record, but what does that mean? Like, in the grand scheme of things, you were 668 and 624. You manage one more season, you could be right around 500, depending on which team you take over. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I'm with you.
I when I heard that name, I went, isn't that just kind of eh? Like, don't you want to, like, even if they made a splash with Albert Pujols, it's a big name, and there's certain things to like about it, even though I would rather have somebody with experience.
I think that's where they're going. I just had that feeling.
What,
that's
Pujols?
Where they're going. Yeah.
I got to admit, though, it'd be kind of cool interviewing him a couple times a year.
I think that's where they're going.
Here's what's happening. They're going up there. You know, he's a baseball lifer. It just sounds weird, and I know we've talked about this the other day. Great baseball players, can they become great managers? I think they can, but we really haven't seen many.
No, we haven't. Murph in Perry Hall. What's up, Murph?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, 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 guys. Listen, I called in about 2 weeks ago about the managerial situation, and the response was kind of okay. But I did say 2 weeks ago I would love to see Bob Melvin as our manager. He's a great catcher. He did some great things with some mediocre teams, and catchers make fantastic managers.
Yep,
they do make fantastic managers. I don't doubt that. But I guess my question to you is, what great things did he do with what mediocre team?
Well,
because the 2012 Angels were not a mediocre team when he won 94-96 games. They were not mediocre.
They were not mediocre, Rob, but they weren't the Dodgers. Let's
but no one's the Dodgers. But what was their roster though? They didn't have a mediocre roster. They had Kirk Suzuki, they had Coco Crisp, Josh Reddick. They had a good team back then. They had a really good pitching staff as well.
I think he did a lot with. I mean, look, that was a team that with this Moneyball build and all the other stuff that they'd been doing. I think you're right. I think they had pieces there, but they weren't as talented as anybody else in their division. Good pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hitting left a lot to be desired. And the weird thing with where I think things changed for the A's is when they made a decision to let Miguel Tejada walk and pay Eric Chavez. And then I get it, whichever way you were going, I think I would have paid Tejada and let Chavez walk or not be cheap and try to keep both of my guys because we know they're a cheap organization. We'll see if they spend more money when they get to Vegas, but this is how the A's have been built since the 90s.
I got an anonymous tip. We pivot a little bit because we got to say this. We have to say this because I would hate for this to come out later and for someone to say, well, Rob and Jeremy, I got an anonymous tip saying that there were players in the Ravens locker room that wanted the games removed.
Okay.
There were an anonymous tip.
Now, if that's...
That goes against what the Sun paper reported. Sun paper says coaches.
This is the one thing I hate about our job is that we got to rely on other people that have information and that write stories.
Right.
And then you're talking about it, going off of what they said.
Right.
And then now it's you're hearing from someone else. It could be the exact opposite. And if that's the case, then yeah, the coaching staff deserves a ton of apologies. But I think this is this something where they both had something to do with it or the player kind of went over the top and said, look, this has to happen.
Now, if I'm telling you the listeners is an anonymous tip, it's not another listener who heard from somebody who heard from somebody. It's from someone that I think to be credible, had to have a lot of credibility, or else I would not say this. Again, Baltimore Sun reports it was coaches. From an anonymous tip that I got about 10 minutes ago, it says players had something to do with having the games removed.
And who was it? Was it you, Joe, that pointed out that Lamar told Marlon to turn the damn camera off in the locker room?
That was like, two or three years ago.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I could see some of the guys getting tired of the podcasting, the other stuff. I don't know that the games have any fault of that, but, like, if you have a couple of star players, we did have a caller earlier and said, what if that was the case? What if Roquan spoke up? And I'm going, I don't think Roquan's the one.
Well, maybe that caller, maybe that caller heard something. Maybe that caller's the one that heard something.
Maybe that caller's your anonymous source.
He's not my anonymous source.
You don't know, maybe disguise his voice.
No,
this ain't Raymond.
It was a text.
The players did it.
It was a text. And again, I think if I didn't say that based on the source,
no, you got to.
I would be irresponsible.
Because, like, again, we're in what we're doing, we're going off of what the report is. And that's where we say, like, this is where you hate the anonymous stuff, but people aren't going to give their sources. And in this day and age in media, what do we have?
Folks trust my source.
Oh, I know.
That was last year when Lamar told Marlon to turn the camera off. It was after they almost blew the game against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So they're on the team playing. Marlon's on Instagram Live. He pans to Lamar, and then Marlon's like, do you want to say something?
He's
you better turn the damn camera off.
I remember that now.
And he's like, you should focus on the fact that we almost lost this game.
Yeah, I remember
that.
No,
he's going to eat 50 glizzies in 50 different states. That's right. What he tweeted out yesterday.
So, again, just got a tip about 10 minutes ago from an anonymous source that says the players did have something to do with the games being removed from the locker room.
Fair enough.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Zach Pearson from Bears Report joins us at 9:15. Brenda Freeze, University of Maryland basketball coach, joins us at 9:30. But on the other side, Mike Bordick talks Orioles baseball and more, some playoffs. One of his former teams now in the World Series. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan, joining us right now, former Orioles shortstop and Toronto Blue Jays shortstop, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. He is Mike Bordick. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, Rob. How are you today?
Doing well, man. Toronto Blue Jays, Los Angeles Dodgers World Series. My heart didn't have either one of these teams in there, but I got to be honest with you, for your viewing pleasure, I think this is the best World Series.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Listen, that dang AL Championship Series was something special.
It was.
Feel bad for Seattle, and they are going to be chewing on this one for a long time because they had so many dang opportunities. And when you're playing under a microscope, does the detail of what real baseball is all about shine through? Like playing fundamentally sound baseball, catch the ball, make the plays, put the ball in play. And that's why Toronto won that series, man, and why Seattle's going to have a really rough offseason as they continue their quest to try to get back to a World Series. But, yeah, this is going to be a fun World Series because Shohei Ohtani's in it. The greatest baseball player we've ever seen is going to be in the World Series doing his thing, and all the superstars that the Dodgers hold. But, man, oh, man, the Toronto Blue Jays, I don't know how you look at it. I think coming from the East is a good thing, man. It shows how strong the American League East is. But also, this team just fights and claws and scrapes, and just you can't count them out. I had them done to rights, man, when they were down 2-0 to the Mariners, and they just fought back. And when that offense gets going, whoo, even the best pitchers have a hard time shutting them down.
Mike, when's the last time you hit three homers and struck out 10 batters?
Oh my gosh! Well, three homers typically took about a month. Striking out 10 batters, that might have taken. I might have done that in high school one weekend.
Well, I'm just glad to hear you say that we're watching the greatest baseball player of all time, because I was out on Monday. When I come back, Rob said he had talked about it on Monday, and people were like, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're saying that." Who can do what he's doing?
No, who has done? You could argue that this guy could do it, that guy could do it. Okay, fine. No one has done it.
Well, they have done it, but it's taken three of Hall of Fame players to do what he did. You know what I'm saying? Like Reggie Jackson hit the three home runs, and well, he did it in the World Series, but you know, a game that's,
I think he struck out 10 times in the World Series too. So maybe he did do it.
Well, exactly. But yeah. So dominant on the mound. I mean, throwing 100 miles an hour with pinpoint accuracy, the nasty split. He's the best hitter on the field. He's the fastest guy on the field. He's the best pitcher on the field. I may be arguable with some of those arms that the Dodgers are flipping out, but definitely one of the best. And, wow, it's incredible to even watch him and hear the greatest players talk about him is really cool. I think we're really lucky to see this guy do his thing. And we've seen him do it for a number of years now. The guy's only been, you know, MVP in the American League and now National League multiple times. So, I mean, the guy is just a freak. And you just don't – I hope he's going to put on a show. He's going to do something special in the World Series too.
Like I said, Mike, on Monday, it's an honor to watch him. Mike Bordick joins us right now. Mike, Kirk Suzuki gets the job with the Los Angeles Angels. Rumors that the Orioles had some interest in Albert Pujols. Where did the Orioles turn for their managerial search?
Oh, my goodness. It's hard, man. I just think the managing nowadays is so much different. And I think a lot of it's going to come down to their personality and how they relate with, you know, the general manager. So I still think Manzolino's kind of the frontline guy.
Wow.
There. They haven't been as aggressive as I thought they might be. Albert Pujols' name coming up says to me, okay, they're open to maybe looking at a former baseball player, but the former baseball player better have some, you know, analytic understanding and things like that. Because I don't think an old school baseball guy is even going to come close to trying to manage a team the way they'd like to, because I think so much of it is dictated by the numbers. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. So I think, you know, you have to have that understanding. You have to be accepting of, you know, the analytic department, that's for sure, and hopefully be able to work hand in hand. But I think it's always come down to who's the best communicator, who can get the most out of their players. And nowadays, there are so many young players in Major League Baseball. The turnover is just ridiculous. And that's another topic, maybe, of ways to keep salary down. But you need somebody that can speak to that level and try to get the most out of these guys. These young players have all kind of come up together in the perfect game and the colleges. They know each other. They know about analytics. But I think they're all hungry to try to make themselves as good as possible. So what type of leader, you know, do you want to help these guys go in the right direction? That's what it's going to be. And I'm a fan of Ryan Flaherty, but I also think this too. Baltimore is Baltimore, the biggest little town in the world, right? So I know that baseball fans are incredible traditionalists around here, but I know they also have been accepting of Mike Elias. I wish they'd entertained the thought of maybe interviewing some old former Orioles, you know, because they all know baseball too. And I know for a fact they know how to win and compete. And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about other guys that live in this area or other guys that have worn the Oriole uniform. I think it would be interesting, and I also think it might spark some more fan interest and talk as we all look for the perfect manager. Sometimes it's just a figurehead to represent a glorious organization.
Rob, right up until he backed out of that and said, "I'm not talking about me," I was like, "Mike, let's do it. You're the next manager. You tell them we're fighting
totally
for that."
Russell Wilson.
Yeah, stand up, Mike. Tell them you deserve that damn job. You know baseball more than them. That's what I would do. I'd probably be wrong.
I tried that one time and never got an interview.
Oh, Mike. Hey, Mike, let me ask you this, though, and I don't know how much you've looked at the type of free agents that are going to be out there. Some of the biggest names, potentially, Kyle Schwarber, Cody Bellinger, the biggest name, Kyle Tucker. I don't know what all the Orioles are going to do, but don't you feel like they have to be very active, and not only in free agency, but there has to be some sort of major trade that goes down?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is it. Okay, so if the Orioles, in my opinion, if the Orioles don't push the button and go after big-name free agent guys, and they need big-name free agent offensive players as catalysts to support these young, offensive, inconsistent players, Schwarber, I would love to have that dude over here. I think Tucker is going to be a huge target, former Astro, even though he had, you know, what some might consider a down year. That dude is a stud hitter, MVP caliber type hitter, if you ask me. So I'd love for them to go after somebody like him. Yeah, get the big boppers, because I feel like if they don't this year and they can't get into the postseason and make a run and be considered a top team, then we're just going to be, you know, the mid-range Orioles again for the next 20 years. I just feel like this is it. This is the window today to get this done.
Mike, tell us all about your podcast, man.
Whoa, all right. Yeah, thanks for asking. The Be More Baseball podcast, Be More Sports pod. Doing great, man. We've had some awesome guests here recently. We had Jeff Conine on last week. What a blast catching up with him. How about this guest this week? It's going to be a two-part series. We had such a good time. Billy Beane from the Oakland A's, man. You talk about somebody that knows the analytic game and the great things he's done over there in Oakland. And he was a former teammate of mine, man, back in 1989 with the Tacoma Tigers. And he is now one of the, you know, he's a Hall of Fame kind of executive. So he's done some good things, and we had a great conversation. So check it out. Be More Sports Pod.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for your time, my friend. Enjoy the World Series.
Easy for you to say. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I couldn't get it out. Brenda Fries joins us at 9:30. Zach Pearson from the Bears Report joins us at 9:15. But on the other side is the Daily Line with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, so before I do that, I want to tell people, call in now. Two tickets to see Maryland Terps homecoming football game on November 1st at Siku Stadium in College Park. The Terps are taking on the third-ranked team in undefeated Indiana. What a surprise that is, their homecoming. So caller number five, we're giving away two pair, 410-583-1057, 5 and 6. Call in now. But up next, I'm going to give you the plays for the day. NBA wasn't kind to me. I'll tell you what happened. I did hit my favorite college football play, and I swept hockey last night. I've got five NBA plays, a couple of college football plays, and NHL play. We'll go over it coming up here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.